I'll write the little subject on the board tonight.
I've written on the board, when God is in it. All right, there we go. Written on the board, when God is in it. That's the little subject this evening. I'd like to read out of 1 Chronicles tonight. 1 Chronicles, the 21st chapter. And we'll just read 3 verses. It said, "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, 'Go, number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it.' And Joab answered, 'The Lord make His people 100 times so many more as they be. But, my Lord the king, are they not all my Lord's servants? Why then doth my Lord require this thing? Why will He be a cause of trespass to Israel?'" Well, I suspect probably everybody here remembers this story. When David wanted to number his people, after all God had done, if you read the Bible stories, you know, in the Bible storybook, they kind of have them laid out, and over and over and over again, God delivered the people, regardless of their numbers. It's just like He came in and did miraculous things, and then all of a sudden David decides he wants to number the people, his soldiers, his how many he had. And Joab, even Joab told David, and we read that here, he said, "The Lord can make the people 100 times more than what they be, than what they are. If you have 10 people, and they go out in the name of the Lord, well, when they get out there, it's like there's 1,000 of them, not just 10. And if you send 1,000 out there and the Lord's in them, well, He'll make them 100,000. He'll multiply them." And that's the way God can do, because God isn't limited. He's not limited by our weakness. He's not limited by our numbers. He's not limited by how we are made in those areas that we look at and feel inadequate in. God's not limited by that. He just wants a willing vessel. He just wants us to go in the name of the Lord and let Him do the work. He wants to be the Lion of Judah for us. He wants to break the chains for us. He just wants us to go so that He can break the chains on our behalf. And that's what he calls us to do. There's a song that says, "Little is much when God is in it." Y'all heard that song before? I won't try to sing it. Little is much when God is in it. And I'm encouraged by that song. This is a general subject that we've preached about before here, I know. We've talked about how that the Lord can give the increase. We've preached about that here, how the Lord can give the increase. We've preached about how we should not draw back when we feel like that we just have a little bit. But be willing to give the little bit that you have. Because, as Joab brought out, the Lord can take 100 and turn it into 100 times that. My message tonight has to do more with on how we give. It's not so much that we should give and that God can give the increase, and there are messages around that and they're encouraging and we should be challenged by that. But tonight I'm thinking about how we give. Do we give in a way that God is willing to be in it? The song said, "Little is much when God is in it." And so, If God isn't in it, and we just have a little bit to give, well, there might just be a little bit there then, if God's not in it. Little as much when God is in it. But if all we do is give, perhaps grudgingly, the little bit that we have, well, that might just be what we're left with, is a little bit, if God is not in it. I know that there's a multiplying effect to, if everybody gives just a little bit and is faithful to give a little bit, then if everybody does that, a little can turn into a lot for something. And sometimes we lose sight of that. We think, well, I just have a little bit to give. It won't make a difference. And so everybody thinks that, and then nobody gives, and then there's nothing. When if everybody would give just a little bit, there would be plenty. But that's not so much what I'm talking about tonight. I'm speaking more in terms of when somebody has just a little bit, God can take that little bit that you have, and He can turn that little bit into much without anybody else contributing to it. Well, I was thinking about some of the well-known stories in the Bible. I was thinking about the widow and her son and the oil. When, wasn't it Elijah? Well, I believe it was Elijah came and wanted her to make him a cake. And she said, well, I'm getting ready to go get two sticks, and we're going to just make a little cake for me and my son, and then we're going to die. And Elijah said, well, make me a cake first. And she did. She wasn't forced to. She made a cake first, and then we know what happened to her oil. Nobody else contributed to it except for God. Also thought about the boy and the small fish. We all know about that story. All these little stories we grew up reading. Little boy gave his fish and his loaves, and God did something great with just what He gave. Nobody else that we have that is mentioned in the Scriptures gave, but the loaves and the fishes of the boy. God multiplied it. Thought about the widow and her two mites. She went and willingly gave the little bit that she had. And in the midst of people who had much, and there's a message in that, this widow was willing to go give the little bit that she had while surrounded by people who were giving much. But instead of drawing back and not giving it at all, she went and she gave what she had. And the Lord took note of that, and He said, hey, see that widow woman over there that just gave that? She gave more than everybody else here. God was in what she gave, and no doubt could multiply that in a manifold way. I was thinking about the disciples. When they cast their net on the other side of the boat, all of the fish that ended up being in the net and in the boat came because the disciples said, nevertheless. And they were willing to just do what they could do. They already tried fishing and they weren't able to catch any fish. So they couldn't catch fish that night. But they could cast their net one more time. They were able to do that, whether they thought they should or not. Because I don't think they thought they should. It didn't make any sense to them. And they kind of explained that to the Lord. We've done this all night. You're asking us to do this in this way. I mean, okay. But nevertheless, we'll do it anyway. And they did. And because they did, the Lord blessed them in a manifold way. Jehoshaphat facing the great army of people, numbers that were greater than he was, and the Lord said, go before him anyway. And so he did. And if you read the Scriptures, it said that he bowed down and he worshiped God. And he implored the rest of his people and his army to take courage and to go forth, even though their numbers were much less than the numbers that they were facing. and God put His blessing on it. And when I look at these cases, and not just these, but if you would go in the Bible and you look at a lot of the stories that are told and begin to dig in, well, what all was going on right before God blessed in a manifold way? See, I'd like to figure that out. I'd like to know what it was that took place that these people did right before God did something wonderful with it. Wouldn't you like to know that? I'd like Him to do some wonderful things in my life. I'd like Him to take the 10 that I have and multiply it by 100. I'd like the Lord in my own life that the weaknesses that I have and the things that I struggle with in life, that I labor with, that I'd be able to take them before the Lord and say, Lord, here am I. Lord, I'll go. Send me, but this is all I have. I just have 2 mites. I just have a little bit of oil. I just have just a little bit of loaves and fishes. Lord, my army is a lot smaller than the army that is out there, but here am I. And I'd like to be able to look at how the Lord blessed these stories and what happened in them so that He could bless. And when I look at these stories, and it's not just these, but I find that these people, they were both willing and they were obedient. None of these stories were these people coerced or forced into doing what they did. At least I don't read that they did. The woman with the oil, she said, well, here's what we're going to do. And Elijah said, yeah, but do this for me. And she did it. He didn't force her. He didn't forcefully take the oil. She went and she did it. As far as I can tell, the boy said, I've got this. Here it is. Jehoshaphat, he willingly went. He listened. He bowed before the Lord. He praised the Lord. He thanked the Lord. And he did it. He was willing and he was obedient. Same with the rest of these stories. The widow and her mite, 2 mites. Nobody forced her to. I don't see anybody saying, you will put in the 2 mites that you have. She went and she took what she have and she gave it. The disciples could have said, no, we're done, we're tired, we've tried it, won't work. But they said nevertheless. And in all of these cases, God came on the scene and did something special. Every single one of these cases. And it strikes me, as I mentioned, that they were willing and they were obedient. And there is a possibility that we can be obedient without doing it very willingly. You know, that's possible to do. We can force people to be obedient. Thou shalt be obedient. And I will force your hand if you don't and make you obedient. Sometimes we can be grudgingly obedient. Sometimes we can do it with murmuring and complaining. We are obedient. We did what we were told to do. But we didn't do it willingly. We didn't do it with a pure heart, with good intentions, with the right motives. Isaiah said in chapter 1, verse 19, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. And when I think about that, I think about the good of the land. I think about land that is bigger than I am. And I think about all the good that can come from the land that is more than what I can generate on my own. And yet Isaiah said, listen, if you will be willing and if you'll be obedient, you can eat from the good of the good of the land, more than what you can generate on your own. But before you're able to eat of the good of the land, you have to be willing and obedient. That has to come first. For the Lord to be able to multiply, He wants to see that we come to Him with a willing heart, not just obedience. Well, I even thought of Ananias and Sapphira. They gave. They weren't even being asked to be obedient to something. It almost seemed like they went above and beyond that. They came and gave without anybody really telling them to. But they didn't. But they didn't do it with a pure heart. They gave with all the for all the wrong reasons. Maybe they were happy with what they gave, but their purpose in what they did was for all the wrong reasons, and God was not able to be in it. When we come before God, He wants us to be not just obedient, but He would like us to be willingly obedient. I'd like to read a verse in 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. Says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for what? God loves a cheerful giver. So what Paul is talking about here is, give as you purpose in your heart to give. In your heart. Now, I know sometimes it's good, and I'm not saying that there are not times where you should give even when you don't feel like giving. But you give because it's the right thing to do. Maybe you give a smile. Maybe you give some of your time. Maybe you give some of your energy to something. You sacrifice a little bit for somebody, and maybe you don't feel like doing it, but you recognize that it's the right thing to do. And your heart tells you that whether you feel like it or not, it's the right thing to do. And so I think the scriptures bear out and would support that God wants us to be responsible with what He's given us. He wants us to be good stewards of our time, with our means. And sometimes that involves sacrifice on our part. But as much as lies within us, I believe the Lord wants us to get to the place where we give because we want to. The scripture here said, God loves a cheerful giver. Well, I was meditating on that. And I thought about the scripture, and I believe it's actually Jesus that was saying this. It was Jesus in the 6th chapter of Luke. I don't remember what verse it is, but He said, Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. Wow. And shall separate you from their company. And shall reproach you. And shall cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. And then you know what it said? Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Does anybody here feel like rejoicing and actually leaping for joy when people separate you from their company, reproach you, hate you, cast out your name as evil? Do we have a feeling of joy and rejoicing? Well, probably not. Probably not the first feeling that comes our way. But Jesus said, rejoice and leap for joy, because there was a reason. He followed it up. He said, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. You're in good company. If you're being separated and reproached and your name cast out for evil for the Son of Man's sake, you are in wonderful company. If you are giving to the Lord and you are being a partaker of His afflictions, or you are being a partaker of the sacrifice that He gave when He came to the earth, that is something to be happy about. I want to be able to be a partaker of the glory of Christ. And Jesus tells us that if we are going to reign with Him, we also have to be willing to suffer with Him. And I believe that He would like us to do it maybe not with bubbling, happy, laughing emotions while people are hating us and separating us from their company and reproaching us, and or we're giving sacrifice. A lot of times we're not being beaten and those sorts of things like Paul was. But sacrifice is sacrifice. I mean, if it really is a sacrifice, it means we're giving something that's a little bit painful. And the Lord would like us to do it with a broader vision of just it's being separated from me. He would like us to look at it in terms of the bigger picture, the work of the Lord, the good that God can do with it, the blessing that is associated with it. Paul said in Philippians 2 and 13 and 14, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." So God has a purpose in our lives that He would like to work in you, both to will and to do of whose good pleasure? His good pleasure. We're His people. What a wonderful thing for God to call our names and say, "Will you do something for me?" "Yes, Lord, here am I. Help me, Lord, to go in a way that you would be pleased with. Help me not to just be obedient to do your will for your pleasure, but Lord, help me to do it in a way that you're pleased with so that God can be in it." And he followed this up by saying, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." I believe tonight that God wants Christians to serve with gladness. Don't you want your children to be happy that they are your children? I mean, doesn't that bring us happiness when we believe that our children want to be our children? And that when we ask them to do something and give direction, that they trust us as their parents. And they do it because they love us. I know we don't always feel an emotional high, but I believe that God wants us, well, the scripture bears out, to follow Him as dear children. "Be ye therefore followers of God as murmuring children." This morning, Brother Shane asked us the question, "Has anybody grumbled any this week?" You know, it's really easy to grumble. It's really easy to murmur and look inward. But I believe God is calling us to be Christians that we can learn to be happier in our service. I don't think we get there overnight. I could preach this message tonight and say, tonight God expects that every one of us, when we leave the chapel, to hear this word of the Lord, and by tomorrow morning to be measured up, and in everything that you do, thou shalt be happy. In all sacrifice, and in all that you give that hurts, you shall be happy. I don't think that it all happens overnight. And as I was meditating upon this a little bit, I thought about where Paul told us in the 5th chapter of Romans and the 3rd verse. He said, "But we glory in tribulation, knowing that..." Listen to the sequence. "Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." Well, I thought about that. I thought, well, that's, at least in my life, it seems like it takes tribulation and patience before I can get to the place where I have a lot of hope. And when I'm in the place of tribulation, it feels like tribulation. But after I go through tribulation, I can look back on that period of time where it was taking place. And that was the patience part. Patience, by definition, is when it's not real easy. Otherwise, it's not really patience. You don't really care. But it's when you're being tried and you're having to endure, you're having to exercise something that doesn't feel the very best. That's patience. But then after patience has its work and tribulation is past, you have gained some experience now. So that the next time that tribulation comes and you begin to experience the patient part of it, and it's not very pleasant, you can think back on the last time that you had tribulation. And you can think about how your patience was tried, and you can think about how that in the end, God was faithful to you. So that this time, you can have hope. That's what the scripture says. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and then experience hope. And I wonder if that isn't also a little bit how our progression is in our journey of life in getting to the place where we can be in a happier state when things aren't pleasant. When we can sacrifice and be obedient and give more willingly because we gain experience as we are obedient to God. Because that's the right thing to do, whether we feel like it or not. He's God. He's the Creator. I'm the created. He wants me to do it. I need to do it whether I feel like it or not. And as I am obedient, and I begin to see the blessings associated with being obedient to God, I believe that as we grow in our experience, we become more and more willingly obedient. And we begin to better understand the place, and I'd like to close here in Philippians, the fourth chapter, where Paul got to the place where he said he had learned. Didn't say that it all happened overnight, but in Philippians 4:11, it says, "Not that I speak in respect of want or lack, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." And he didn't just get it overnight. He had to learn it too, just like we do. So I'm not trying to preach something that's higher than what God expects of us. We do have to grow in grace. But I believe the Lord does want us to grow. And as Paul learned that in whatsoever state he found himself, that he could be content. And then he described those states. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And you know what he found out? You know where his hope came from? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He learned that over time. And as he learned that and practiced obedience, then I believe Paul got to the place where he could tell us to joy in our tribulation, which is hard sometimes for us to think about, because it's hard to be happy in tribulation. It's hard to be content when we feel hungry and when we are abased and when things are going not our way. So tonight, I would just like to encourage us all that be encouraged to be obedient, and be encouraged to be obedient with expectation. That regardless of what you have to offer, regardless of what your circumstances look like, just if you just have a little bit to offer the Lord, if you just have a little bit of joy, give it to Him. Little as much when God is in it. He can multiply it. He can make things better for us and good for us in life. And so tonight I'm challenged and I'm encouraged that, Lord, help me as a Christian that I would be willingly obedient, that I would learn the pleasure that is associated with the service of the Lord, even when I have to give when it hurts. And I believe that if we do that, God will bless us. He will be in our giving and in our obedience, and we won't have any regrets. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.